good morning, everybody. We've come to the end of another week, and in our Bible reading plan, we have jumped from the book of Ezekiel. The last chapter we looked at was 33, following the destruction of Jerusalem, and now we jump over to 2 Kings 24. And 2 Kings 24 describes the event surrounding Ezekiel's exile or deportation to Babylon that took place in 598-97 BC. And then chapter 25, which we'll look at Monday, describes the events that took place 10 years later in 587-86 BC when Jerusalem was totally destroyed by the Babylonians. So in chapter 24, the story picks up because at the end of chapter 23, the last good and godly king of Judah had been killed in battle, Josiah, godly king, but killed in battle against the Egyptians. And when Josiah died in battle, the people made one of his sons king in his place. He only was king 3 years, and the Egyptians, after defeating Josiah, eventually made their way to Jerusalem and imprisoned that son and placed his brother, another son of Josiah, on the throne as king, changed his name to Jehoiakim, ending with an M, Jehoiakim. And Israel, Judah, if you will, became a vassal state to Egypt and began paying tribute to Egypt. And what happened was in 605 BC, Babylon defeated Egypt, and therefore Judah became a vassal state of Babylon instead of Egypt and had to start paying tribute or taxes to Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians. And that happened in 605 BC, somewhere through there. And some of the young Jewish men who were very intelligent were taken to Babylon as exiles, and that's when Daniel was taken. And chapter 24 picks up with Nebuchadnezzar putting Jehoiakim on the throne. So look at verse 1. In his days, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up, and Jehoiakim became his servant for 3 years, and then he turned and rebelled against him. So while he paid the tribute for a few years, starting in 605, he eventually stopped paying it, rebelled against Babylon, and eventually, not right away, but eventually Babylon came up to Jerusalem and surrounded the city, and that's when Jehoiakim died. His son Jehoiakim was made king, and Jehoiakim went out and surrendered to Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon, and that was a wise thing to do. That's what Jeremiah was telling him to do. In verse 10 of chapter 24, at that time, the servants of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, went up to Jerusalem, and the city came under siege. So this is the 598-97 siege. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, came to the city while his servants were besieging it. And Jehoiakim, the young son who had just become king because his dad had died, Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, went out to the king of Babylon, he and his mother and his servants and his captains and his officials. And so the king of Babylon took him captive in the 8th year of his reign. And he carried, and this is really sad here in verse 13. So they surrender, and the king and his officials are carried away to Babylon. In fact, many of the leading citizens were carried to Babylon at this time in 598-97 BC. And one of those, this is when Ezekiel was taken captive to Babylon. But in verse 13, he, Nebuchadnezzar, and his army carried out from there all the treasures of the house of the Lord, the temple, and the treasures of the king's house, and cut in pieces all the vessels of gold which Solomon, king of Israel, had made in the temple of the Lord, just as the Lord had said. And he led away into exile all Jerusalem, and all the captives, and all the mighty men of valor, 10,000 captives, and all the craftsmen, and all the smiths, and none remained except the poorest people of the land. So he took all the skilled leaders, people, and so on to Babylon. But it's sad that they just went into the temple and anything of value. And when you go back and read about Solomon building a temple and all the gold, it was beautiful and it was expensive. And here it's all lost. It's all gone. Babylon takes it back to Babylon. And that's where it remains. And this whole time now, Jeremiah is a prophet in Jerusalem. And Nebuchadnezzar, after he takes Jehoiakim to Babylon, he appoints Zedekiah as the new king. And Zedekiah begins paying the tribute to Babylon, and he does that for a number of years. But after close to a decade, he listens to false prophets and ignores Jeremiah, and he stops paying the tribute. He rebels. You would think they would learn, but he doesn't. These false prophets are very, very persuasive. And Nebuchadnezzar comes back, and we'll pick that up Monday in chapter 25 when he totally destroys Jerusalem. I mean, and just burns it to the ground. But the chapter ends toward verse 17. Then the king of Babylon made Jehoiakim, the king who had surrendered, and his name is Mattaniah, king in his place, and changed his name to Zedekiah. And he paid the tribute, and then the chapter ends with him refusing to pay it and rebellion. And we'll pick the story up Monday. But a couple of things that spoke to me in this chapter. Verse 13, he carried out from there all the treasures of the house of the Lord. And that was so sad because, as I said a moment ago, you know, David had this dream of building a house for God in Jerusalem. And God did not let David build it because he was a man of war and there was blood on his hands. But he allowed David to design the temple and to collect the resources, the money, and all the materials that would be needed. And then Solomon fulfilled his father's dream under the direction of the Lord and built Solomon's temple, built the Jewish temple in Jerusalem with the holy place and the holy of holies. And there was gold everywhere. It was magnificent. But their successors as kings, for the most part, turned their back on God. And made a mockery of God, made a mockery of the Jewish faith. They placed idols in the temple courtyard and in the temple itself. And everything was lost as the Babylonians carried it away. And then the chapter ends, sad, sad verse in verse 24, through the anger of the Lord, this came about in Jerusalem and Judah. In other words, all the devastation that happened to Jerusalem and the nation of Judah at the hand of the Babylonians was a result of God's judgment, God's anger on not just the kings, but on the people for their generational sin, their generational idolatry. And then it says in the middle of verse 20, this was happening until God cast them out, the Jewish people cast them out from his presence. It's one of the saddest verses in the Bible. All the stuff in the temple's carried away, and God finally just cast the Jewish people, the nation of Judah, the city of Jerusalem, just cast them aside out of his presence because of their sin. I mean, how bad does it have to be for God to do that? So sad. But what all of this teaches us is that godly leadership in every generation is essential. Godly generation in one generation does not guarantee godly leadership in future generations. Each generation needs godly leaders. It also reminds me that sometimes it's good that we don't know everything about the future. Can you imagine how Solomon, while he was building the temple, would have felt if he knew this is what was going to happen? And sometimes God blesses you and me by not letting us know what is coming. As the scripture says, today has enough trouble for today. Keep your eyes on God today and stop worrying so much about tomorrow, because you can't control it anyway. So obey God today. I'll see you Sunday as we worship Jesus, and then Monday as we look at chapter 25 and the destruction of Jerusalem. I'll see you then. God bless you.